when I start sort of the bottom of Beis Amid Aleph, it's the third line after they branch out to the left. Amir Rabba Baba Achana, in the middle of the line, the third line after they branch out to the left. Amir Rabba Baba Achana and Rabbi Yochanan, Zudivi Rabbi Akiva Stimta. The Mishnah, which presents the din of Yom HaKnisa, that villagers, right, the definition of a village being that there are no asar batzlanim to guarantee the minyanim in shul. So b'nei kfarim have the latitude of reading on Yom HaKnisa the Monday or Thursday before Yudalit. So the Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva Stimta. So where did Rabbi Akiva get this last name from? So Rashi says, the Rashi is also where the Tosus is ordinarily, here in Beis Amid Aleph. So this Rashi is to the left of the Gemara. Stimta'a, Rashi says, Harbe Stam Mishnah. Sosam Rebbe, Shehein Divi Rabbi Akiva. There are many Stam Mishnayas, right? A Mishnah without attribution, which gives it a special standing as being the mainstream opinion, the major opinion. So there are many Stam Mishnayas which are really the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Yesh Mefarshin Stimta'a Kol Hastum and Talmidim Hayu. It's not isolated Mishnayas which are Stam Mishnayas are leave it to Rabbi Akiva, but rather everything is funneled to Rabbi Akiva. To the Amr B'Sanhedrin, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Pevav, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir. The rule is, if you have a Stam statement in the Mishnah, most times it's going to be Rav Meir. Stam Tosefta Rav Nechemya. A Stam Sifra will be Rav Yehuda, and all these Talmidim, and all these are Talmidim of Rav Akiva. V'kuhu Stim Toya, leave it to Rav Akiva. Okay. Rashi says, that's true, ach kosha be'enai lefarish kein, I don't think that's the pshat in the adjective of stimta'a, shemotzinu b'chama mekomos b'shem Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi stimta'i, Rabbi Menachem bar Rabbi Yossi stimta'i lekaman uperek b'nei ha'ir. That according to that, yesh mefarshim, so stimta'a should have been reserved exclusively for Rabbi Akiva. Right? We shouldn't have found that title used for anyone other than Rabbi Akiva, and yet that's not the case. Right? So Rashi prefers the first prayer. Either way, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, so back to the third line after they branch out here to the left. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Zudivi Rabbi Akiva Stimta'a, the Mishnah which presents the din of Yom HaKnisa is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Didarish Zman, Zmanim Zmanehem. Who darshins, why does the Gemara take positions on what the drush is? Well, let's leave that for now. But who darshins that there is a din of Yom HaKnisa, Abel Chachamim, Omim and Koran, also Elad is Mamma. But according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, the Chachamim deny, they say, Lahoyud Va Me'olim, there is no such thing as a din of Yom HaKnisa. Says the Gemara Meisvei, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when do we have the din of Yom HaKnisa? Bizman shahashonim kitikunan v'Yisrael shiruyin al admoson. Abel bizman hazeh hoil umistaklin ba ein kor asa ela bizman. We're going to be now to spend most of the shir on that phrase, hoil umistaklin ba. So let's skirt it for the moment. But the Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we no longer practice the din of Yom HaKnisa. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, leave it a man. Ilei ma leave it a Rabbi Akiva. Afilu bizman hazeh isa lahaitakanta. It certainly isn't the view of Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah, right? The Mishnah is, when you have a lashon in the Mishnah, so a stam lashon in the Mishnah refers to after Churban Habayis. After Churban Habayis. So clearly the Mishnah allows for the din of Yom HaKnisa even bizman hazeh when we're no longer shruyin al admasenu. So Rabbi Yehuda clearly isn't in accordance with Rabbi Akiva's view in the Mishnah. Ella lav, it must be a libet de rabbanon. It must be that the balei pluta of Rabbi Akiva, the balei pluta of Rabbi Akiva, do agree that ubizman shashanim ketikunim v'yisrael shurin alamosan miyakarina. So tshifta de Rabbi Yochanan, tshifta. So then we according to this first version of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is refuted, because we establish that the machlokes tanoim is that according to Rabbi Akiva, the din of Yom HaKnisa is still operative, b'zman hazeh, whereas according to the Chachamim, once upon a time it was operative, but it's no longer operative. Fine. Ika de ame, we're now the fourth line from the bottom, towards the end of the line. Ika de ame, ame rabba baba chan ame b'yochanan, zu dibe Rabbi Akiva stimtah. The Mishnah, which presents the din of Yom HaKnisa as still being Noeg B'zman Hazeh, that reflects the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Avol Chachamim Amru, but the Chachamim say, B'zman Hazeh, post Churban, Hoil Mistaklin Ba, Ein Koron Asa Ela B'zmana. So according to this version, no, Rabbi Yochanan himself was mechaven to what the Braisa says. That everyone agrees that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did make allowances for Yom HaKnisa. The question is whether or not that continues to be operative. Tanya Nami Hochi, so according to this version, the Braisa doesn't refute Rabbi Yochanan, but corroborates Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eima Sai Bizman, Shashan Ketikunan, V'Yisrael Shruyan Alad Mosan, Avol Bizman Hazeh, Hoil umistaklinba in koronosa ala bizmana. Right, so according to this version, the Braisa now corroborates what Rabbi Yochanan said, that the Chachamim say, we no longer practice the din of Yom HaKnisa. Good, fine. Now, what exactly is the reason the Chachamim are giving? Okay, so here it's a little, just the basic pshat is a little complicated and is debated in the Rishonim, so let's just see if we can iron out just the basic pshat and see if we can understand a little bit in Yotzei Shev. Now, Rashi has a difficult pshat. Again, so far, we're operating with Rashi's girsa again, which is mistaklinba, that people look to it, okay? People look to it. The ba means Mikra Megillah. They're looking to Mikra Megillah. What are they looking to Mikra Megillah for? So let's say Rashi. When do the Kfarim have the leniency of being able to read on Yom HaKnisa? Bizman shehashanim kitikunan, shehashanim misabros alpi bezdin v'hachadoshim hamikadshim bezdin. Or hamikudoshim bezdin perhaps. Sholchin and bezdin, then sholchin shluchehen. Lahudia emosai hukdash nisan, the osin moadem of pishluchim, kisheshuin alad mosem, vahashluchim magim ara pesach liktei eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, once upon a time, when Bezdin was mikadesh rosh chodesh, based on eyewitness testimony, al pi hori'iya, and in addition to that, all of Klal Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael, so then everyone would be informed based on Bezdin's Kiddush HaChodesh when Pesach would be, because the Shluchim could reach every Jew because we weren't scattered all over the place. We were all concentrated in Eretz Yisrael, so Bezdin could reach every Jew. So there was no need to have any kind of simen for when Pesach will be. When will Pesach be? Pesach will be. The Shluchim will come and tell us when Pesach is going to be. They'll come tell us that last Thursday was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so count 2 weeks from last Thursday and you'll know that it's Pesach. Avol bizman hazeh shepasku kol eile v'Yisrael nifredu v'lo yagiyu shulchei bezdin etzlam. Now that the Shluchim cannot reach all communities because the communities are scattered too far and wide. So now, how do people calculate when Pesach will be? Hakol Tzofin, the Mikra Megillah, they all look to Mikra Megillah for Omim, and they reason as follows. Yom Yudalid V'Iyar Karin and HaMegillah. Sorry, just want to make sure everyone's awake. Okay. Yom Yudalid B'Adar
Karin and HaMegillah.
On the 14th of Adar, we read the Megillah. Nisharu La'Adar Tesvav Yom. So there are 15 more days remaining in Adar. V'Tesvav Shel Nisan Osin Pesach. And when we'll have counted 15 days into Nisan, so we know that that 15th day is Pesach. Now, says Rashi, well, since we're now using Mikra Megillah sort of as a signpost, as an indicator for when Pesach is going to be, Imtaktim Kriyasa, if we'll advance Kriyas HaMegillah before Yudalid Adar, Yasu Pesach L'Sof Shloshim Yom Shel Kriya. They'll count 30 days from Mikra Megillah, and so they'll be making the Seder Chveis on Yud Gimel Nisan, and if that's not bad enough, Nimsu Ochlin Chameitz V'Yamim Achronim Shel Pesach. If they'll be in Pesach a day or two early, they're going to end Pesach a day or two early, and they'll be eating Chametz on Pesach. Okay, that's Rashi's.
So Rashi did not have any dependence on the women who would say, we don't want to make Pesach any earlier than we have to.
Right, that's Rashi's pshat. That's Rashi's pshat. Now, there are a few difficult things in Rashi's pshat. One of them, if you have the Gemara with the Rif, if you'll take a look, the Ravid refers to this pshat. It's on Aleph on the Beis in the Dapi Harif. So according to Rashi again, Bizman Hazeh, Hol Mestachim Bar means that Bizman Hazeh, once Shluchim don't reach every corner of the diaspora, because we're scattered, we're not all concentrated in Eretz Yisrael, so then people measure when Pesach is in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah, on the assumption that Kriyas HaMegillah is on Yud Daled. If that's the case, then we have to ensure that Kriyas HaMegillah is on Yud Daled and no earlier. Now take a look, you see the Hasagas arrived here. He says, Ubechaye Roshi, it's in the left-hand column. The Ravid has earlier quoted, referred to the reason of Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rif. Linedo, I hope we'll get to that. And then he says, Ubechaye Roshi, Zahatam, meaning this reason, this the pshat in the Gemara of Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rif, Tov V'yotem Mitam HaTzofati, Nishma Soreden. It's better than the pshat of the Frenchman, right, of Rashi. He says, "Ubnei hakfarim, ubnei ayaros, ubnei krachen, korim bezmanim." He says, "I don't understand what the problem is. Let everyone read when they're supposed to. The bnei kfarim will read on Yom HaKnisa. The bnei ayaros will read on Yudalid. The bnei krachen will read on Tezvav. Ubnei hakfarim holchem lekrachen bimei apurim, malichim lehem mazon lesimchas korim. The bnei kfarim will still have an indication" for when the real Purim is, because again, how does the Gemara explain why did Chazal extend this leniency to the Bnei Kfarim? Because they provide, they're the ones who live out in the farms, so they're the ones who are going to be busy providing food and drink to the Bnei Ayaros. So they're going to be doing that in Yudalit. It's not like Yudalit is going to get lost in the shuffle for the Bnei Kfarim. Ubnei kfarim holchem, the middle line here in the left-hand column, Ubnei kfarim holchem lekrachem bimei apurim, molichem lahem mozon lesimchas apurim, and now the Ravid now adds the clincher in terms of his kasha. V'gam heim atzmam ein osen su'udas purim el biyadalid. Because if you take a look at the Gemara, if you just switch back to the Gemara for 1 minute, please, on the bottom of Yudalid Dalid Amid Beis. On the bottom of Dalid Amid Beis. Tanya Nami Hochi, the third line from the bottom. It's around 2.5 lines from the bottom here on Dalid Amid Beis. So Tanya Nami Hochi, Afal Pisha Amu Kfarim Magdim Liyom Aknisa, Govin Bobayom Umachalkin Bobayom. Even though the Kfarim read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Yudalit, so they also make their collection for the Aniyim and distribute Maos Purim on the Yom HaKnisa. Says the Gemara, Afal Pisha Amu Adarava Mishum De Amuhu. It's because they're reading the Megillah that we should let them give the Matanos Avyanim them also. Says the Gemara, Ein HaChanami Ella Hoil Va Amu Shekfar Makdim and the Yom HaKnisa. Since they read the Megillah earlier, so they can also have Matanos Avyanim earlier. Govin Ba Bayom and Mechalkin Ba Bayom. Why? Hibnei She'ineim Shal Aniyim Nesuos Ben Mikra Megillah. Because the Aniyim look forward to Mikra Megillah because they know that they're going to get some relief. Because they know they're going to receive Matanos Avyanim. Now, this is the din which the Ravid is referring to. Aval Simcha Eina Noheges El Abizmana. But the Sudas Purim, even the B'nai Kfarim, are obligated to celebrate on Yudalid. That Chazal did not give them the latitude to make the Sudas Purim on Yudalid. So coming back to the Ravid says, I don't understand Rashi. Even if it's true, let it be the case that people sort of measure when they calculate when Pesach is going to be in light of Purim. But why should people be doing it in light of Mikra Megillah? It's not as if once you read the Megillah on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, you lose sight of Yud Aleph. No. The Gam Heim Atzmam, the second line from the bottom, in the left-hand column, in the Hasagas Aravid, the Gam Heim Atzmam ain't osin su'udas poem ela b'yadalid. Now here comes a very, very interesting line. V'ad shem mistaklim b'mikra megillah, yistaklu b'simchas poem. So why should we assume that they're going to look and calculate based on the day of Kriyas and Megillah? No, it's the more natural thing for them to do is to look and calculate based on the day of Simchas Purim. Now, here comes something very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, kihi ikah haPurim, meaning maybe you'll defend Rashi's pshat and say no. The reason people are likely to measure and calculate based on Mikra Megillah is because that's the highlight of Purim. Says the Ravid, it's not so. Says the Ravid, it's not so. We have it all backwards, right? In our popular imagination, so the highlight of Purim is the Megillah. And what's more, it's the Megillah at night. And that's wrong on two scores, right? First of all, as we've learned, that the emes is even by Kriyas HaMegillah, the Ike Kriyas Bayom, and the night is very much secondary to the day. Again, the night gets all the press. The night has a good PR. But says the Ravid that our sort of focus on Kriyas HaMegillah at night is the highlight of Purim is wrong on two scores. A, the Ravid is not talking about, but A, even in terms of Kriyas HaMegillah, it's wrong, because the Ikki Kriya is Bayom, as we've seen. B, says the Ravid, even in terms of Purim as a whole, it's not Kriyas HaMegillah, which is the Ikka, but it's the Simcha. It's Simcha's Purim, which is the Ikka. Memela, says the Ravid, I can't understand why Rashi would interpret the Gemara in such a way to say that Afal Pichein, people are stubbornly going to latch on to Kriyas HaMegillah.
Because Kriyas HaMegillah, by essence, is Pesumin Nisa, and it's a spectacle in itself. It's not an individualistic mitzvah. So the whole idea of the Shloshim Yom is that Klal Yisrael is going to have a mark to indicate from one point to the other point. So they need something that's not their personal thing, where they skip.
Maybe Enochanami. Maybe that's what Rashi would say. Maybe Rashi would say that. Okay, so that's one, just in terms of just the Perish HaMilos here in the Gemara. That's Rashi's pshat in Hoel Mistaklin Ba. There's actually something else in terms of historically about the Kiddush HaChodesh, which is interesting in Rashi, but maybe we'll leave that for the moment.
Why should the determination of Pesach be dependent upon Purim? So we can go out on Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, so maybe we won't leave it for a moment.
No, okay. And now there could also be 30 days and not 29 days.
Okay, so we won't leave it. I was trying to avoid this. All right, but good for you. See, the other thing in Rashi, which opens up a whole can of worms here, is if you look again, let's reread Bizman Shasharim Kitikunan, right? So Rashi says Sharim Kitikunan means that the calendar is being set optimally, meaning through Beis Din. Right? We're not relying on a cheshbon, but Beis Din is reacting. They're accepting eyewitness testimony for the months. They're looking around as they did in terms of Iba Hashana. Right? It's not based on a computer program the way it is Bizman Azeh, but it's rather Shanim Ketikunan, right? Now, and Yisrael Shruin Al Admasan, Shluchim Megin Ad Pesach Likzei Eretz Yisrael. So now, Avol Bizman Hazeh, says Rashi, Sheposku Kol Eile. What does Kol Eile mean? So from Rashi is Mashma, and the truth is that the Rashi in Beitza sounds like this also. See, the way the Rambam reconstructs what happened, and it's very difficult to... But anyway, just a little bit, just in response to your question. The way the Rambam reconstructs things historically in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh is that until the end of the Chachmei HaGemara, and through the days of Abaye and Rava, there was still Beis Din of Smuchim, the original Smicha, Ish Mipi Ish, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael, and the calendar was still set Al Pi HaRe'iyah, that every month they used to be Mekabel Eidim, and every month, and then the mission Rosh Hashanah says about which month they would have to dispatch Eidim to inform the people. And that only changed at the end of the time of Chachmei HaGemara when there was no longer a Beis Din Kavu in Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, of course, we lost that original smicha. Then the Rambam says the Halacha Moshe Misinai allows for making the transition to Cheshbon, that we no longer set the calendar al pi ha-re'iyah, but rather we set it according to Cheshbon, based on calculations. And based on the calculations, again, the calculation of not only when the molad is, but also the calculation that Rosh Hashanah shouldn't be Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and the various considerations which go into the Cheshbon. Now the problem is that Rashi here is Mashma. You also take a look in the Hagos Maimunios, in Hilchos Megillah, he says it also, Rashi in Beitz is also Mashma, that in some places, see, Rashi here, you're absolutely correct, is describing as though they know for sure how many days they're going to be between Purim and Pesach. And you're saying, how can you know that? You can't know that for certain, because you don't know how many days are going to be in Chodesh Adar. It sounds like Rashi that at a certain point, at least in some communities, they were already relying on Cheshbon much earlier, already in the times of the Tanoim. In some communities, they were already relying on Cheshbon. And that's what Rashi says is the background, that once in some communities, they were relying on Cheshbon. Why were they relying on Cheshbon? Because they couldn't be informed. They weren't going to be informed by Shluchim reaching because the Golis was too vast, so the Shluchim couldn't get there. So in some communities, apparently this wasn't universal, otherwise there never would have been a Dinsvek of the Yoma, but in some communities they were relying on Cheshbon already. They knew the Sod, the Ibor, they were relying on Cheshbon. So then they would be measuring from Purim to Pesach, and they would know for a fact that there's going to be 30 days, 15 more days of Adar, and then the 30th day will already be Nisan. Now exactly so that's absolutely right. So Rashi has a totally different reconstruction of what was happening, and according to Rashi, and this is the complicated part that I was trying to avoid, the two things were happening concurrently. But according to the Rambam, so there have been two epics, let's say in history. There was an epic from Matan Torah until the end of the days of Abaye and Rava, when the calendar was set based on eyewitness testimony. That's in terms of Rosh Chodesh, and in terms of Ibar Hashana also, they used to look around and see whether or not the roads to Eretz Yisrael were passable, or whether or not they were still so wet from the winter season that they weren't passable. And they used to make the decisions that way. At the end of the times of Abaye and Rava, so then, based on the Halacha Moshe Misinai, so the transition was made to Cheshbon. And basically the two never overlapped, with one exception. The only time Bizman HaRe'iyah they ever relied on Cheshbon is what happened if for a couple of months running it was always cloudy at the end of the month. So even there, the Rambam agrees that you did rely on Cheshbon even in the era of the year. Again, if it happened 1 month, okay, so we'll make this month a 30-day month, we'll make it a mole. But you can't do that month after month. So if it would happen that for a few months running, at the end of the month, it was always cloudy, so then even in the era of Re'iyah, they did rely on Cheshbon, but only in that one isolated case to sort of, fill in the blanks, fill in the gaps. But otherwise, that there was no Cheshbon. And the fact that someone living way out in Bavel could Cheshbon when the Molad for Chodesh Nisan would be, that information didn't help him. Because when the Molad for Chodesh Nisan would be astronomically was irrelevant, because that didn't tell you when the shluchim would reach Beis Din and whether or not Beis Din would get eyewitness testimony in time to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh. So it's not that we didn't know the Cheshbon until then. It wasn't that Hillel Hanasi discovered or popularized the Cheshbon. It was of no practical consequence, because that wasn't guiding the Beis Din. That's the problem. Everything is very easy to understand how everything is working. Now the problem is here that according to Rashi, again, it's clear that they were still using Re'iyah at this point, and yet Rashi is talking about some communities operating with Cheshbon, and that's what's so complicated to sort out, which was why I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question. Okay.
Maybe Rashi is not saying that they weren't using Re'iyah, but that communities that were further away weren't using Cheshbon as much as they were using Yom Tov Sheni Shacholos. So they knew Pesach is either 30 or 31 days from Purim.
But the problem is Rashi, maybe.
He doesn't say there's 8 days of Pesach, but he doesn't say there isn't either. And he thinks if you're going to do Yom Tov Sheni, so then 30 days and 31 days, you do Pesach.
So two answers. Number one, you sort of have to read into Rashi. See, what Rashi should have said, if he means what you're saying, what Rashi should have said is that Hakol Tzof in the Mikra Megillah Va'omrim Yom Yudalad Va'Ador Karina HaMegillah Nisharu La'Ador Tezvav O Tezayin Yom. Either way, it wouldn't have undermined his pshat, because either way, the Sveka de Yoma, you don't want that off either. Because if your Sveka de Yoma is off, so then you're not covering yourself. And Rashi doesn't say that. So your understanding of Rashi, we sort of have to push in a couple of words. The other problem is Avol Bizman Hazeh, when Rashi says, Sheposku Kol Eila. So what does Kol Eila mean? Means not only the fact of Yisrael Shrui and Alad Mosan has been lost, but something else is not as true of Zman as it once was. And the only other antecedent here is the exclusive reliance on Re'iyah.
Rebbe, I have a different problem with Rashi, and he seems to imply that sometime after the story of Purim, there was a point in time where everybody was close enough to the Beis HaMikdash that they got word from the Shulchan when the Rosh Chodesh was.
But we know that B'nai Ezra only a Miut went back. That's right. What you're asking.
So there was never a point after the story of Purim took place that, at least based on Rashi's shot, that you could have had the Heter of Yom Tisa.
That's a good question. That's a very good question. The Shalom is asking, when was it ever the case subsequent to, historically, when was it ever the case subsequent to the story of Purim that it was Yisrael Shu and Alad Masan? It wasn't.
It was the Bayesheni, no?
No, I think it says in Ezra Nechemiah, only a Miut went back.
Okay, but then after, when they finally rebuilt, didn't most come back then?
I don't think so.
No?
No, not in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh, but in terms of...
Basically, against the
world of Israel. See, Rashi Kishashwin al Admasim seems to say that the Shluchim were able to... The Shluchim could certainly, within 2 weeks, reach the outskirts of Eretz Israel, and therefore what? And therefore what? So it sounds like, and therefore we reached everyone, right? But Shalom says, but that's not true, because it wasn't the case even be made by Yeshenia that all Jews were living in Eretz Israel. I'm sorry? Right, so the question is, what's the contrast that Rashi is drawing between Kishishri and Al Admosan and Bizman Azeh and La'acha HaChorban? I don't know. Right, so what's the contrast? Weren't they in Bavel even before Churban? Maybe, so I was wondering about that. I don't know, but it says, I don't know, just historically, is that the case, that they were closer to Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. The Rambam just says that in those individual generations. The Rambam says that Rabbi gathered the Chacham of his generation to do it. He doesn't say that it had been the case continuously.
Also, they were consecrated and we were really in Yidala. There was a question between Yidala and
I don't know. That's a very good question. I don't know. But let's take a look in the Baal HaMoed. Well, actually, the Rif initially. Again, back to Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf HaRif. If you see that around eight, nine lines down, Amar Rabba has a little open circle there. Amar Rabba, Baba Al-Khana, Amar Biyachad, and Zudifi on Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf HaRif. In the Dapi Harif, all the way in the back. Zudev Rabbi Akiva Stimtoa, the Dar Zman Zmanam Zmanehim. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Bizmana Zehol Mistaklin Ba in Kornos El Bizmana. Klomar says the Rif, again, this is Rashi's Girsa, but a different understanding. Hoil the Einehim Shalaniim Nisuos the Mikrimigela, Kadesha Yecholek Lahem, Mos Purim, Ein Kornos El Bizmana. So the Rif says, Mistaklin Ba means not people in general look to Mikra Megillah to calculate when Pesach will be, but people look to Mikra Megillah, the Aniyim look to Mikra Megillah in anticipation of receiving Matanos Levyonim, receiving Maos Pur. So the Baal HaMoed quotes the obvious question, well, what's the problem? We just looked at the Gemara in the Baal HaMoed Dalet Amud Beis, which says that we accommodate the Aniyim. And we take it, tell people, give them Matanos Levyonim on Monday or Thursday ahead of time. So what's the problem? So take a look there in Hamor HaKatan, the third line in the Mor HaKatan, towards the end of the line where you have the Aleph with a half bracket, V'kash Yolon al Hodein Perusha Hodein Min L'Kaman B'Gemara. Right, and it's difficult. We have the following difficulty with this pshat. The Gemara says later on Dalet Amud Beis, Hoilva Amukfar Magdim and the Yama Knisa Govin Bova Yom Machalkin Bova Yom and Neshaneim Shalaniim the source the Mikrim Megillah. That we do distribute Maos Purim on the Yom HaKnisa precisely for this reason, because the Aniyim are anticipating it. V'ra'isi l'rav v'bein ha'fayim zal shepiresh l'farig zu ha'kushya v'omar v'bein ha'fayim says as follows. Bizman hazeh sheYisrael miYisarin b'dikduke aniyus. Bizman hazeh that the Jewish people are afflicted with overwhelming poverty. Iya havina luhum matanos biyir alef biyir beiz biyir gimel az leva achla luhu biyom hahu. Maybe sort of borrowing a little bit from the Ravid. But given either that the poverty is even more intense, or that since the poverty is so widespread, they're receiving very little in terms of Matanos Levyonim, so the likelihood is that they will have spent or consumed everything immediately, right? If you have someone, Nebuch, who's a starving person, and you give him a piece of bread, so he's not going to be able to to have the self-discipline to put it away for 3 days, or to even to ration it. He's going to eat it right away. So bizman hazeh sheyisrael miyusarim bedikduke aniyus, they will go, they will consume it, or if it was food that you gave, they will eat it on that day. And what's the problem with that? And Simchas Purim can only, again, that's the end of that Gemara in Dav Dalam Beis Hamad Alpha we just looked at. Simchas Purim can only be on Yudalit or Tezvav. Ubat lala simcha. So interesting, right? So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, when that Gemara and Avdalit said that you can distribute, or you should distribute, you can distribute matanas avyonim on yom haknisa, that's on the assumption that the aniyim will not spend it all, will not consume it all before Purim. It's on that assumption, the assumption that the aniyim will still have it on Purim to use. However, when it becomes clear that that's not likely to happen, so then you can't fulfill your mitzvah by giving on Yud Aleph. You're only fulfilling the mitzvah on Yud Aleph if the ani still has it on Yud Dalet. Now, the Iyamis, well, maybe we can still salvage a din of Yom HaKnisa by saying Liku B'Yud Aleph, so okay, so read the Megillah, but don't distribute. We can't do that. Why? Because Kevin the Chazi Aniyim the Kari Megillah. If the Aniyim will see that we're reading the Megillah, and no one gives them anything, they will despair, and they'll go somewhere else, hoping that elsewhere people will be more generous. And these B'nai Kfarim will not have any opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah matanas levi on them. That's how the Rabbeinu Ephraim elaborates the rif's reason. Okay, so again, according to this, just the Perish HaMilas of Ho Mestaklin Bar means, since the Aniyim looked to Mikra Megillah to receive matanas levi on them and understood, unlike what was true once upon a time, when the poverty wasn't quite so extreme, when we could bank on their holding off in spending and consuming the matanos until Purim, we can no longer do that, Bizman Hazeh. We can no longer do that. Okay, so it's interesting, according to the Rabbeinu Ephraim, again, there wasn't a special takona, again, that you could outright fulfill your mitzvah of matanos levyonim on Yom HaKnisa. It was rather, again, based on the assumption that the aniyim would still have it on your dalid, and therefore have the possibility of using it towards Simchas Purim. Now it's interesting that the Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch, in Tafresh Tzadik Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this in Bir Halacha as well, The Magen Avraham refers to this Baal HaMoor as follows. Listen, Rabbi Yossi, it's very interesting how he quotes it. Kosav b'ma'or, the lo yitain lohem kodem purim, referring to matanos levyonim, dil ma'achle lehu kodem purim. So the Baal HaMoor, the way the Magen Avraham understands it is that there was never any special takana. No special provisions were ever made for the mitzvah matanos levyonim in conjunction with Yom HaKnisa. It was always the case that me'ika hadin, unlike shalach monis, according to the Baal HaMoor, me'ika hadin, you're not supposed to do it halach l'maisa, but me'ika hadin, according to the Baal HaMoor, one can distribute the matanos levyonim ahead of time, if one would have a guarantee that the aniyim would still have the money come Yudalit, come Tezvav. And the only thing is, based on this Rabbeinu Ephraim, so the Magen Avraham says, we have a gezerah not to do that anymore, because we're afraid that they won't. But it's interesting that the mitzvah of distributing matanos levyonim doesn't require that the distribution, again, me'ikar hadin, practically, according to the Baal HaMoor, it does, because of this gezerah. But me'ikar hadin, in terms of what the original mitzvah matanos levyonim is, doesn't require that the matanos be distributed on Purim. Doesn't require the matanos be distributed on Purim. So what's the significance of that? What's the significance of that? So clearly, and we actually think, I think last year, I think we had one share around Purim time where we spent quite a bit of time discussing this point. But now, just in very briefly, you can't fulfill a mitzvah, you can't do the Maisa HaMitzvah Shelo Bizmana, right? You can't, for instance, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, right? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, if you have a person who at times is lucid and at times is not lucid. So, itim cholim, itim shelta. So, if the Gemara says, if he eats matzah when he's a shelta, so if he becomes lucid again, he has to eat matzah again. Because for him, that wasn't the time of the mitzvah. How can you do something to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim before Purim? So what you see clearly is that the mitzvah matanos levyonim is purely result-oriented. Now it's unlike most mitzvahs, the Torah says, listen to the shofar, pick up the lulav, eat matzah, right? It's not have matzah digested in your stomach, right? It's not purely result-oriented. The Torah says, do this, right? Do the mitzvah. Matanos levyonim is an exception, not the only exception, but is an exception to that overwhelming majority that the mitzvah is purely result-oriented. That the mitzvah of matanos levyonim is that the aniyim should, on Purim, have the benefit of our largesse to be able to facilitate their simcha. Now, what we discussed then, not going to repeat all the rayas, the whole mahalach now, is that in general that's true of mitzvah tzedakah. In general that's true of mitzvah tzedakah. What was the raya we had? The raya we had is that Rashi quotes a sefri. There's a sefri which Rashi quotes in the Perush al Torah, which says that if you have a hole in your pocket, so a dollar bill drops out of your pocket, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam arranges things that who finds it? And Oni finds it. That you get schar for mitzvah tzedakah. What do you get schar for mitzvah tzedakah? You didn't drop it intentionally. You probably have agvus nefesh that you dropped it, and you have no idea to who picked it up, and you're in no way did you give him a dollar. But the answer is the result of your money having benefited the Oni was achieved. That result was attained. And you see, again, there are other rayas also, that Mrs. Stocker is result-oriented, and it doesn't necessarily have to come about via a Maaseh HaMitzvah. The overwhelming majority of mitzvahs, there's no such thing as fulfilling the mitzvah unless you do the prescribed Maaseh HaMitzvah. By Stocker, that's not the case. By Stocker, it's result-oriented. If the result is attained, so then the mitzvah is mukayamis. And again, whether it's because Matanos Levyonim and Purim is just a specialized mitzvah tzedakah, or even if it's mitzvah simcha, that the simcha is also result-oriented, that the Oni's Purim should have been brightened by his having the benefit of your money. Either way, the point is that you see clearly, according to the Baal HaMor, as understood by the Magen Avraham, that that's what mitzvah Matanos Levyonim is. Now, in this context, it's kedai to review a famous Rambam. So a different angle than we usually discuss, right? The famous Rambam, or the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah, let's say a person has a $500 budget for Purim. That's how much money he has budgeted for Purim. So the question is, how much does he spend on Shalach Manas? How much does he spend on the Suda? How much does he spend on Matanos Levyonim? So the Rambam writes here in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin, Mutav la'odim laharbos b'matanos avyonim milaharbos b'sudasu v'shloach manos l'reyav. Better allocate more of your budget to matanos avyonim than to Seuda and Shalach Manos. Why? Says the Rambam, She'en Sham Simcha Gedola Umefu'ara, there's no greater or more resplendent Simcha, Ela L'Sameach Lev Aniyim V'Yesomim V'Almanos V'Gerim, than to gladden the hearts of the poor, of the orphaned, of the widows, of the strangers, or Gerim Shizot HaMashmo, She'en Sameach Lev Ha'umlolim Ha'elu, that the one who gladdens the heart of these unfortunate people, Doma L'Shechina, he resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'nema L'Hachayos Ruach Shvalim, L'Hachayos Lev Nitkoyim, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the downtrodden. So what do you see from this Rambam? Listen, Abbas, you see two things. A, the Rambam here is ranking the mitzvahs, right? And the Rambam is saying that what ranks number one is Matanos Levyonim. How does he do it? According to what standard is the Rambam doing it? How does he do it? Because the Rambam says that's the greatest form of Simcha, right? So A, you see that for the Rambam, all three are basically kiyumim in Simcha. If, let's say, Shalach Manas, it's got nothing to do with Simchas Purim. Simchas Purim is the Seuda. Simchas Purim is Chayavin Shlev Sumei to get drunk. That's Simchas Purim. Shalach Manas is a separate mitzvah of Purim. So maybe the highest form of Simcha is to give staka to Aniyim. But how do I know whether Simcha is greater than Shalach Manas? So clearly the underlying assumption here is that all three of these, Simcha, Shalach Manas, and Matanos Levyonim, are all kiyumim in Simcha. If they're all kiyumim in Simcha, so now we can say, well, whichever is the highest form of Simcha is going to be the highest ranking of the three, right? Is that clear, Avosai? That's number one. But now number two, here we have a fascinating difference in emphasis between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim also ties in Matanos Levyonim with Simcha, but with whose Simcha? The Simcha of the Aniyim, correct? The Rambam ties Matanos Levyonim in with Simcha, but whose Simcha? The Simcha of the Nosein HaMatanos, right? The Simcha of the one who's giving the Matanos. For Rabbeinu Ephraim, Matanos Levyonim ties in to Simchas Purim because it's supposed to facilitate the Simchas Purim of the Ani. But for the Rambam, it ties in with Simchas Purim because it's the Simcha of giving, right? She'en Shem Simcha Gedola Umefu'ara, for whom? For the Nosein, El Sameach Lev, Ha'umlalim ha'elu. Now that being the case, l'chora, you think about this, but I think it follows. What would the Rambam say about this question? Me'ika hadin, without any gezeira, can you distribute Matanos Levyonim before your dalid on the understanding that the aniyim will not use all the money beforehand? So l'chora, according to the Rambam, the answer should be no, right? Because if it's your simcha, so you have to experience a simcha in your dalit. If it's the aniyim simcha, so then we stipulate, hold on to it till your dalit, and then have the potential of using it on your dalit. But if it's the simcha of giving, so l'chori, it's very, very dochuk to say, well, on your dalit you can think about the fact that 2 days ago you wrote out a check, and that because of that they now have the money. That doesn't sound right. So the pashtus is that we have here a fundamental machlokas again, that for Rabbeinu Ephraim, the relationship between Matanos Levyonim and Simchas Purim is that the mitzvah of Matanos Levyonim is to facilitate the Simchas Ho'aniyim. For the Rambam, the relationship is that the giving is part of the Simcha for the what? For the Nosein. And if that's the case, the pashtus is that only Rabbeinu Ephraim would say, Me'ika Hadin, you can give ahead of time on the assumption that the Aniyim will still have the money on your dalit. But the Rambam would say, no, I don't think, can I eat on, I'll eat on your gimel, I'll eat such a big meal that I'll still feel full in your dalit. And I'll be Mekayim Simcha that way, or I'll reminisce about, you have to experience the Simcha on your dalit. If the Simcha of Matanos Levyonim is the giving, it's the Simcha of the Nosein. So the pashtus is the Rambam would say, Me'ika Hadin, you have to your money has to be given on your dalid.
So if that's the case, I'll put them in a takana that they will give them as
no, so then Einachanami, you're absolutely correct. So then as a corollary to this, if this is correct, you're absolutely right. As a corollary to this, so then according to the Rambam, the fact that they could give the Matanos Levyonim on the Yom HaKnisa is part of the Takana of Yom HaKnisa. According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there was no special Takana. The Takana of Yom HaKnisa is you can read the Megillah. Now Chazal said, hey, you know what? Since you're reading the Megillah, you should take advantage of the possibility of giving it ahead of time. And according to the Rambam, no. Therefore, in conjunction with that Takana, part of that Takana is that you can distribute your matanos levyonim ahead of time, but ein hachanami when we get the dalit, but you're right, it's a different understanding of distributing it on Yom HaKnisa. I think you're right. Now let's just see very quickly the third pshat in the Gemara here, which the Rif has. Again, back to Aleph Amid Beis in the Rif. So v'yesh shegorsin, you see it's right alongside in the Ran. You have the bold face v'yesh. So right alongside that, in the lines of the Rif, v'yesh garsin hoel u'mistaknin ba. Right? Instead of the lamed, there's a nun. Not hoel u'mistaklin, but rather hoel u'mistaknin ba. Loshon sakona. Danger. Kloma ba'oso ha'eis shehoyu Yisrael ma'amidim v'aseihem v'ein barni de sakona. Right? So when we lived in tranquility, so then we could practice the din of Yom HaKnisa. Vayikaron asa b'achad asa v'shneim asa v'shlosh asa. However, avol bizman hazeh shem mistaknin Yisrael b'dosehem. We're under the oppressive rule of the Romans, right? That was the contemporary situation of bizman hazeh then. So the question is, why was it more of a sakana or potential sakana on Yom HaKnisa than on Yudal of the Tezvot? Why does the oppression of the Roman Empire, how does that affect the din of Yom HaKnisa? So the Ritva in his Chidushim here elaborates this girsa and explanation of the Rif and says as follows, that if you have Yom HaKnisa, so then the celebration of Purim is more drawn out, and it's much more conspicuous. It's much more conspicuous, so then you run the risk of incurring and inciting the wrath of the Roman government, and then maybe the Roman government is going to come and try to and be gozig zeros against Purim the same way they did against other things. So we want to keep it as low-key as possible. So to keep it as low-key as possible also means to limit the number of days in which we're involved with the celebration of Purim. That's how the Ritva fleshes out this reason of the Rif. Now, according to all the opinions, there's a basic question, and that, well, maybe not all of them, but certainly this last one, but probably according to Rabbeinu Ephraim as well. Let's say nowadays, right? So nowadays we don't have that issue of sakana. We don't have that issue of sakana. Or nowadays, I suspect that Baruch Hashem, we don't have worse poverty than they had originally. We don't have the diktukei aniyus, which is so widespread, which the Rabbeinu Ephraim is describing. So how come we don't revert back to the din of Yom HaKnisa? How come we don't revert back to the din of Yom HaKnisa? So if you come back, it could be that there's more than one answer, but just for today, so just to finish up with this answer, come back to the Rashi here, on Beis Amid Aleph, Dibah Maskel Me'e Mosai. Right, in the Rashi line, there's a parenthesis, Dab Chavov Amid Aleph, at the beginning of the line, it's in the left hand. If you see where the Rabbeinu Chananel is, it's around four lines, five lines up from there. The Dibah Maskel E'e Mosai in Rashi. So again, the Amosai is the first word of the Braisa of Amar of Yehuda, Amosai bizman she'asharam kitikunim, right? So Rashi says, Amosai hikilu chachamim al hakfarim. So Rashi could have said, Amosai, do the Kfarim read on Yom HaKnisa, right? Rashi could have said, Amosai Korin B'nei HaKfarim B'Yom HaKnisa. He doesn't say that. He says, Amosai Hikilu Chacham Al HaKfarim. Could be that what Rashi is getting at here is the following. That Rashi is saying that when the original takana was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola of Yom HaKnisa as part of the takana of Purim, there was an expiration date put in. That the Chacham said, we're instituting this, and this will remain true as long as Shanim Kitikunan, the Yisrael Shruin Al Admasan. But when that changes, so then that's the expiration date. Now, if that's correct, and if that's what Rashi's getting at, so then we would understand why Bizman Hazer, we can't say that it should have reverted back. Because it means that then the takana of Yom HaKnisa was all along a delimited one, that it was only for so long, and that therefore it's not that every year we should assess what the situation is, but Amosai Hikilu Chacham Al HaKfarim, for what period of time did the original takana allow for Yom HaKnisa? Is Bizman Shashanim Kitikunim Yisrael Shurin Al Masan, but when that was lost, so then that the original takana had expired. Okay, we now do this somewhat to discuss here, but we'll stop here. The next year is in 2 weeks.